At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And now, Golf News Network proudly presents The Jay's Blade Show with your host, CyberGolf.com's own Jay Clemmer, and co-starring a galaxy of the golf and sports world's greatest names as his special guest. Yo, 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 this is your main man, DJ Q, telling you to put your hands together for your friend and mine, Jay Flubber.
All right, thank you, DJ Q, for bringing us into this show in style. He is absolutely right. I am Jay Flubber, and you are listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Jay's Plays is brought to you by JB's Best Hot Sauce. It's the spiciest, it's the boldest, it's the most amazing hot sauce out there, and it's made by a golf writer, John Furwell. It's on every table in the Deep South, and it should be on yours when it says JB's, it's the best. So welcome everybody to this show. We are in the middle of the spring swing for the golf season. It's headed towards the Masters in a few weeks. And so with that in mind, we are bringing in one of our heavies, one of our very favorite people to join us. He's with Back 9 Media, and he often contributes to this show and many others on GNN. Please give a warm Jay's Plays welcome to Fred at Vatter.
Hey, how you doing, Jay? Great to be here again.
Thanks. It's always great to have you, too, for all of your insights on the tour. You definitely give us all the latest skinny on what's happening and with whom, and so we're glad to have you aboard to guide us through the spring swing of the schedule.
Well, you know, for me, Jay, one of the biggest stories this year is the youth movement on the PGA Tour. You know, we've seen youth movement on the LPGA for a couple years, but man, right now we've got, 14 events so far in the books, and 10 of them have been won by guys under the age of 30. And you've got guys like Justin Thomas and Hideki Matsuyama, 23 and 24 years old that have won, what, 5 or 6 times so far? So, man, they're tearing it up.
If you want to count some of the earlier season events, and we're talking all the way back in October, then yes, Justin Thomas has won 3 times, and Hideki Matsuyama has won 3 times. And it is amazing to see Justin Thomas have a bit of a coming out party this year. So take a moment and tell us all a little bit more about JT.
Well, you know, he has been coming on for a couple years. He grew up playing junior golf against Jordan Spieth. They're good buddies. They came up through the ranks as amateurs, up through the college ranks a little bit. And so they hang out together. They're kind of spurred on by each other. And as you know, as professional athletes, they're always looking for motivation to do better and better. And Justin Thomas saw that in Jordan Spieth. He saw the great year he had a couple years ago, and he said, you know what, I beat this guy when we were juniors. I can beat him as a pro. And so he just worked and worked. And, you know, the guy only weighs, what, about 150 pounds, and he hits it out there, you know, over 300 yards, generates tremendous swing speed, does a great job on the course, really somebody to watch. And I have him as kind of one of the guys to watch going into Augusta, Jay.
He is one of the guys to watch going into Augusta, part of that young crew. One of the fellows that hasn't made a huge name for himself yet, but had a good season last year, and also is looking to break out. And on top of that, also went down to Ricky Fowler's little hedonism event that he has when he invites people after the Masters, okay, is because Justin Thomas went and Jordan Spieth went, and the fourth was Smiley Kaufman. So tell us a little bit. He hasn't won this year yet, but he had a good season last year. Tell us about Smiley and if you think he might be one of those sleepers to watch for at the Masters.
Smiley has been struggling a little bit this year and not kind of performing up to where he was a year ago. So he's got some work to do. But, yeah, they had a great time down there in the Bahamas. Then they had the Baker's Bay at the resort down there last spring. They had the spring getaway of all spring, you know, of all resorts. They did the whole deal down there. But, you know, Smiley is a really good player, going to be good, just going through a time right now when he's just struggling a little bit. But he'll get it back.
Now, you mentioned, of course, Jordan Spieth, who put a lot of the doubters to rest last week when he won. And, of course, he's going to be one of the huge stories coming into the Masters because he won in 2015 and then fell out of the sky like Icarus in 2016. I'm one of those who's in the camp that I don't think that that loss is going to hurt him this year. I think it's going to motivate him this year.
Oh, absolutely. He's at the top of my list going into Augusta for sure. He has a burning desire to make that up. That failure on the back nine on Sunday, especially number 12, you know, I mean, that can happen, Jay. It's a tough place. We've seen it over the years. It's happened before. Rory McIlroy disintegrated on the back nine 1 year there at Augusta when he had things in control. So it's not.
A four-shot lead he had, and he let it all sink away.
Yep. And, you know, Greg Norman lost a six-shot lead there 1 year. So, I mean, it can happen, even to the best players. So, no, you know, and Jordan had a great year last year. He didn't have a bad year last year. He had a really good year, solid year. Didn't win a major, but, man, he you know, won a couple times, played really well. But his whole year was really set up, and we talked about it on our show, Back Nine Report, that he did too much stuff last fall. I'm talking about the fall of 2015 and the early part of the year in 2016. He was visibly tired and on edge, and things just weren't going his way through the year. And it all stemmed back from playing too much around the world at the end of 2015. He corrected that this year, cut his schedule back, took some time off, did some different stuff, actually looked into some business training, got some schooling from some of the top minds in the United States. So he's looking to diversify his life a little bit, get some stuff off the golf course, and I think he's going to be fresh. I think he's ready to go. And, you know, there's a really wonderful story on ESPN this week about how he took motivation. He and Tom Brady have become good friends through their sponsorship with Under Armour. And when Brady won the Super Bowl, he took inspiration from that and then went out and won Pebble Beach the next week.
Now, we've talked a lot about the young American players that are doing very well, but what about on the European side? Okay, we cannot discuss the Masters without talking about Rory McIlroy. And I'm a big believer, I don't know if it's going to be at the Masters, but I think we're going to see Henrik Stenson win another major. So handicap the European side for us.
Well, you named a couple of really good names. Of course, Rory's out with his injury right now. He's going to be rusty still by the time the Masters comes around. I don't expect him to be a factor there. But later in the year, probably in the Open Championship, possibly the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship, Henrik Stenson's always a threat. He's been playing just fantastic golf the last 3 or 4 years. Another name, Sergio's playing really well right now, too. So you don't want to count him out. He still needs a major. The Masters is a good place for him if he can keep his putter under control there because he's such a great ball striker. He can hit his irons into the right spots on those greens at Augusta. Another player that I really like, or two players actually, young guys from Europe that I really like, John Rahm, who just won on the PGA Tour, and Thomas Peters, who had such a great Ryder Cup, and he just had a really good week at Genesis Open there in L.A. He has no status on the PGA Tour, and I'm not sure yet. I haven't looked at the numbers today. I forgot to look at that. He might have gotten enough from his finish at L.A. this week to get special temporary exemption so that he can get unlimited sponsorships onto the tour to get his full card. So he's going to be very close, and he's going to play the next two or three events on tour. So he should get enough to earn his card for the rest of the year and play full-time in the U.S. Thomas Peters is a wonderful player. I'll tell you what, he wants to win right now. He knows he's made the statement, you know, that I don't want to play the PGA Tour forever. I want to do it for 10 years and I want to go do other stuff. He wants to win now, make his name. So, and he is a great, great player.
Now, you gave us an awful lot in that answer, so quickly I'll try to hit a couple of things. First, if we're doing a handicap, I'm going to take the first major that Sergio Garcia is going to win as the British Open. I think that he can last longer there than in any of the other majors, and I think that he's got the game to handle both the wind and the fast and firm conditions where you're going to have to hit a lot more bump and run shots and be more creative around the greens. You know, he and his putter are definitely working together a lot better than they used to be in the past. So, yes, I agree. Watch for Sergio to win a major soon. I would guess that the Open Championship would be his best chance. And since it's at Royal Birkdale this year, okay, that's a very friendly course. Now, next up, Rory McIlroy's injury. For those of our listeners that aren't deeply into exactly what's wrong with him and how bad it is, give us the lowdown on what's wrong with Rory and how long it'll take to fix it.
Well, he has some pulled muscle in his side, and I think in the rib area, and it just is a matter of he had to quit playing and give it time to heal. He couldn't even chip and putt for like 4 or 5 weeks. It's my understanding he's just gotten back to start practicing a little bit, aiming to come back here in a couple of weeks. But you know how those things are, Jay. When guys are off for a time, you know, they go do other stuff, they lay around, and it just takes a while to get back to be tournament sharp. So we're getting late in the season. You know, we've got a host of guys coming into the Florida Swing this week that are at the top of their game. We just named a bunch of guys, and, you know, the guy that just went to number one in the world, Dustin Johnson, is a threat every time he tees it up. So, you know, it's going to take Rory a little bit of time to get back to form, I think. We've seen that from him before when he's been away. You know, he had the ankle injury that he hurt, you know, playing soccer. So he's had some down times before. And when he comes back, it takes him about, you know, what, 2-3 months to kind of get back into tournament shape. So I just don't expect anything until the middle of the summer.
Well, the one thing I would say about his hopes at the Masters are this. When you play well at Augusta, you tend to play well at Augusta all the time and for a long period of time. If you get Augusta, there's something about the idyllic and Pacific atmosphere of walking on those grounds, which is a weight lift. It's downright transportive. And the guys just, they don't, you know, their blood pressure drops naturally by 10 or 15 points. They go out there and it's so much fun that, you know, they can swing a little more freely and think without so much pressure, you know, and you can take a few moments at places on that golf course where the fans aren't allowed to go, like 13T, and just stop and smell the wonderful flowers, you know, and taste the air, you know, and smile and kick back with your boys like it's a good time, you know, and so it's the kind of place even Tiger, okay, in his worst moments of the scandal, he would go to Augusta and he would still contend or at least play very well. Even when he was hurt, he would come back, and at Augusta he'd play well. It was sort of like giving us a false alarm that he was back. So now that we've reached that topic, let's talk about it. What do you know about how bad Wins' injury is, and what does this mean for his future?
Well, I don't really know much more than pretty much anybody else. You know, it just, you know, I had it down here in my notes to talk about, you know, his comeback here at the start of the year offered so much promise, you know, and so much excitement to the first part of the year. And it probably, Jay, signals the final chapter of one of the greatest careers in the history of PGA Tour golf. You know, yes,
hang on, that. I wanna stop you there for 1 second, just to throw this point out there. I completely disagreed with that. I thought that this was the beginning of yet another ring in the circus. I didn't think that we were gonna see another chapter of Woods' greatness. Why did you think that we might?
He seemed to have such high hopes. He seems to be in a very good place. His demeanor was much better. He's much more relaxed. He's much better around the guys. I don't see him being, he doesn't have that killer instinct like he used to have. Jay.
Exactly.
He's in a good place with his children. He seems to be in a good place with his life in general. And you know, hopefully with the surgery time away, the legs maybe got a little bit better, because you know his legs are a problem also. But this back this back thing, these back spasms, they will bother him the rest of his life. Those do not go away. We've seen that with professional basketball players. We've seen it, you know, with baseball players. That's something that's going to be bothering him. I don't think there's anything you can really do about that except for constant stretching and relaxation, and some stretching exercises. But, you know, it's really sad to me. You know, he was scheduled to play 4 times in 5 weeks. I thought that was a pretty aggressive schedule. Plus fly to the Middle East and back in the middle of that. So, you know, flying, and then he flew commercial from LA to the Middle East. I know it was in a special compartment in one of those Emirates, big jets, and I know, but it's still not laying out in your own bed in the G6. So I'm really surprised that he did that. He did it because he didn't have to do a layover. He could fly direct. But I think that maybe was a mistake in hindsight. And I don't know if he can get these spasms under control. You saw he pulled out of the press conference because of his back spasms. He didn't do that.
I'm still shaking my head over that. Here's my thoughts. I think that someday, a few years from now, we'll see one more major from Woods, but that's it. I think he's going to pull a Jack Nicklaus. Out of the blue, when we're totally not expecting it, when he supposedly isn't going to be a factor, for 1 week, it's going to be the right place and the right
magic.
Okay, again, I will guess the British Open, because here's something interesting to take a look at, Fred. Finally, a few years ago, as we turned decades and went into the 11, 12, 13, that's when Woods learned to play in the wind. He was never good in the wind before. He used to get blown away at places like Muirfield or Carnoustie. But he finally buckered down. And in 2011, in the wind, sorry, 2012, in the wind, played very well at Kiawah Island for a while before he wasn't able to sustain it. But at an open championship, especially in a crosswind, everybody gets bunched up. And so it's like there's a restrictive plate on the field. Okay, and then you get the half of the guys in the field that psych themselves out of it before they even get started. Padraig Harrington said all the time, I love it when it's a tough course, and I love it when it's tough conditions, because everyone psychs themselves out. And no matter what level athlete you are, you can take that and use that. Okay, as a runner, I use it all the time. People are like, it's too cold, it's too windy, it's too hilly. I'm like, give me whatever you got. We all got to run the same thing. If they're thinking that way, I'm just going to be past them. So Woods has still got a lot of the mental attitude that way. He's still mentally very tough. He's still mentally very sharp, Fred. I agree with you that he doesn't have the killer instinct because he hasn't had need to use it in so long. He hasn't contended in so long. He hasn't been at the top of the leaderboard on a Sunday for so long that we haven't seen it, and it might be a bit rusty, but it is still there. That attitude that once you get it, it never leaves you. The attitude of, I have to dominate. I have to win by 14 shots. If I'm up by one, I don't care. I got to get up by two. And now I want to get up by three. And I'll tell you who exemplified it. At the U.S. Open last year, you'll recall Dustin Johnson had hanging over his head that maybe penalty. That we don't know if he's up by one, we don't know if he's up by two, we don't know if he's up by two. He didn't know. And he wasn't looking at scoreboards. He told us in the interviews after the Open, I didn't look at the scoreboard. So I put up my hand and I said, Dustin, I don't understand that. Okay, if you're not sure how many strokes ahead you are, why isn't it more important for you to keep an eye on where the other guys are so that you know for sure? He said, because, Jay, I'm trying to hold out every shot. And as long as I'm trying to make a birdie, and as long as I'm trying to be hyper-aggressive with everything that I'm doing, okay, the further ahead I get, the less I have to worry about them. So it some people would call it dangerous, some people would call it hyper-aggressive, but it worked for him at that moment, and it brought him a U.S. Open trophy in his first majors. So, you know, this is one where I have to say to myself, I can say what I like about the fact that, you know, I don't like that when Dustin wins, we have to pay homage to three celebrities, i.e. Paulina and Gretzky, because I don't think that's what it's about, but I will give him that one. So last thoughts on Tiger before we go to break. How long do you think it'll be before we see him in action again?
Well, I think he's going to try and make it to the Masters. You know, he can play that place in his, you know, with his eyes closed. And I'm going to disagree with you on your previous statement there. I think if he's ever going to win one again, I think it'll be Augusta, because he just has a feel for that place. If he can get his iron game going some week and then get the putter going, and he knows those greens inside and out. So if the conditions are right, he could win there. Even with his 80% of his game, you know, not his A game, not even his probably C game, he could win there. So I will disagree with you there, but I think it's going to be, you know, he's got to get right. And I know he's going to try to come back for the Masters, but I don't know if he's going to make it yet.
Okay, guys, we've got Fred Atwater, and I think you are absolutely right, too. If it's not the British Open, it would be the Masters. Like I said, when you play well at Augusta, you play well all the time there. And he played well there during crisis situations, so one of these times he might cash in. We'll be right back after this. I'm going to leave you in the capable hands of DJ Q for just a second. I'm Jay Flemming, you're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back in the second half of the show in just a minute.
This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.